Oh, we're going to have a great time for the next 3 hours because you're going to have an opportunity to chat with and listen to some of these great guest hosts and fill-in hosts that we have had over the years. You know, for a radio program that has been on as long as Coast to Coast has, we are truly blessed to have some amazing hosts and broadcasters. And in a moment, you are going to meet one of them on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Over the next 3 hours, you're going to have a great opportunity to listen to and chat with our very special fill-in hosts, amazing broadcasters in their own right, who have been part of Coast to Coast, some for a very long time, others for a short time, but they really contribute to the strength and growth of this program. And it's only fitting to bring in our first one, who was with Coast to Coast way before I was. As a matter of fact, back in April of 2001, I filled in for him when he took a night off. But Ian Punnett spent the majority of his life on the radio, in school, in church. He worked for radio stations around the country. He has been one of the original hosts of Coast to Coast AM. He received his Master's of Divinity degree from Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta. He's a deacon in the Episcopal Church. He has a Ph.D. from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Arizona State University. And, of course, one of our dear friends, Ian Punnett. What a pleasure to bring you on, Ian. This is great.
So honored, George. In fact, I was just sitting there listening to Herman's Hermits because I've got Peter Noon coming up in a couple of weeks on a Friday night when you have it off.
That's right. Next Friday.
And you, by all rights, you should be the one interviewing Peter Noon from you. Would, I know you would kill it.
I love the music. I'd love that. I was singing the song while it was on. Tommy, of course, was holding his ears back in Los Angeles.
But if you, I tell you what, if you book Def Leppard between now and then, I'll trade you. And
you got
I'll give
it.
You. I'll do Def Leppard and you do Peter Noon.
So you got it. Anyways, let's talk about you, my friend. You have been associated with Coast to Coast for a long time.
Yeah, 20 years. In fact, we were just tabulating the other day, just somewhere north of 600 shows since I did my first call. I did one in 1999 or something like that. And then I started doing them more frequently and in the winter of spring of 2000. So yeah, it's been quite a lot of fun, and I just, you know, I can't stop doing it. I don't know how anybody could stop doing it. I know why you don't stop doing it. It's just too much fun. It's a great show.
We're starting this year into our 18th year doing this program now.
I love your commitment to it too. The fact that you do so many nights, where by all rights too, you could be doing it a lot less than you are. But you know, I love your live schedule, and the fact that you're getting out there so often and singing, which I have yet to hear the George Norrie Live in Budokan album, and I am really looking forward to that when you release that.
Where are you living now? What state?
So I'm in Kansas. I'm in Manhattan, Kansas, at Kansas State University, where I'm a professor of practice at the
Good for you.
A.Q. Miller School of Journalism and Mass Communications, and where I also am the chief operator and faculty advisor for the alternative rock station here on campus.
Super. So, and how's the tinnitus now?
Terrible. Just always still never bad. Good. It'll always be bad. I mean, I can handle it though, which is nice, and I've learned to master it in terms of it not bothering me. So that part's been the good part.
Lost you for a couple of years because of it, and then we were able to get you back on.
Yep, sure did, and it was it had to be because it's called 24/7 disruptive, and it is that until you can learn the techniques that you need to control it from becoming the center of everything you're hearing at any given moment. And that's what I've been able to do.
Ian, how did you get spotted for Coast to Coast? How did this evolve for you?
Well, I was working for, at the time, was J-Corps. And so they had just purchased Premier Radio Networks, and then they were working toward becoming part of Clear Channel. And Art was doing like seven nights a week. and so they were looking to bring in some help for him. And at the time, a lot of Art's friends were filling in on the nights that he couldn't do it. And the company wanted to have somebody from kind of like from their side of the equation. So I was the first one to be offered a one steady night every week. And I did that until you took over for me, which was perfect. So
I remember that night that Alan Corbett had called me, Yeah. And he said, Ian's taking a Sunday night off. Would you fill in for him? And just jumped at that opportunity.
Isn't that interesting how, and I just talked to Alan a little while ago, isn't that interesting how it's a call, it's like something you didn't see coming, and it's just the biggest game changer in your career, and it would, within just 2 years or what, how long was it since between that and when you took the con?
A solid two years.
Just think about that. I mean, how beautiful that worked out for you.
I remember when I was doing my local show in St. Louis, the Nighthawk program.
I remember that show, by the way.
We would get a call from Alan Corbett. My producer would get the call at, let's say, 10 o'clock at night, Central Time. And we're on the air at midnight Central Time in the Midwest here. And he, coast to coast is. And he would call us and say, I don't know if Art's on tonight. Can George be ready? And I would always do a little preview of Coast to Coast because you never knew.
Sure.
And I never took the opportunity to say, no, I can't do it.
No.
And so I would.
Why would you?
So after my show got done at midnight, Coast to Coast started at 12:06 a.m., I would run down to another studio that we had, and it was all wired up to go. And the board op at the time told me in my ear, if you don't hear Art in the open, go, you're on.
How about that? How about that?
And then we did that several times. But having worked with you has been a blessing.
Well, you're so sweet to say that. And I remember listening when there were people around the country who were kind of, you know, in the same, working kind of in the same conceptual field that we were in Coast. But the Nighthawk, right? I mean, you were that was the one I kept hearing about when people would email and they go, this guy is not a tourist. And so many other people out there were just faking it. You know, they were just totally faking it because they knew it was kind of fad and they wanted in and whatever. But you never had that reputation, which is why it was a perfect fit. And that used to happen to me, too. I used to get that call from Alan before that, in the middle of the week, even when I was in seminary and I'd have class at 8 in the morning, and he'd call me and go, okay, Art is having a back thing.
Yeah.
And he says, it's like, can you be on? Could you be on standby? And I did a bunch of shows like that. It was great.
Have you always been spiritual, Ian?
Sure. How about you?
I mean, yeah, I am. I mean, I don't think you could categorize me as very or ultra religious. But I am very spiritual. I believe in a higher power. Honestly, some days I don't know what that higher power is, but I know I know it's out there.
No, I appreciate that. In fact, I think that's really the beautiful thing about being truly a person of the soul is that you're always in a process of connection. You're always that's where we get the word religion. It actually comes from, you know, the same Latin root as ligament. And so it's a kind of reconnection. We're just always reconnecting to the divine. And I think if you're not always in that, if you're not pursuing that, there's something out of life, I think, a dimension of life perhaps that, you know, is you're missing. I always found it to be highly satisfying. I can't think of a time when I wasn't, and I can never imagine a time when I won't be.
Good for you. Ian's websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. He's got a couple books out, A Black Knight for the Bluegrass Bell, and the other is How to Pray When You're Beep at God.
That's right. And I have a new one coming up later on this year, which is about leadership, and it's about I co-wrote it with an Israeli-born Reformed rabbi
who lives
in Miami, and a Pakistani-born Muslim scholar who lives in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And we co-wrote the book about Moses. And so it's a book about millennial leadership. It's about this next generation that's coming up and how Moses is really a perfect example of looking for leaders in hard times.
Now, here's a question for you. Are you going to interview them for the book on one of your shows with us? Or would you like me to interview you and them on one of our shows?
That's a great question. I hadn't even thought.
Think about that.
I'll take anything I can get. And they're wonderful guys. They're both older and retired. So I'm the younger one. And it's always fun to talk to them because they have both very different points of view. One works about Moses from the Quran, the other from the Hebrew Bible, but we all seem to end up in the same place in the end. So that part's joyful.
And how's your family? Everything good?
Everything's wonderful. Thanks for asking and being safe, too.
You were co-hosting in Minneapolis with your wife, weren't you?
Yeah, and my wife has a hugely popular podcast. Her podcast is often in the top five on Apple and on Podcast One.
Well, how do people find that? What's it called?
The podcast is called Best to the Nest. It's a podcast about bringing your best self home and not being, you know, doing all your best work at the office, and then by the time you come home, you're unbearable to live with. So Best to the Nest is a very popular podcast and has been on for about 2 years, and it's thriving.
Ian, so in the time we have left here, let's take some calls for you, all right?
Oh, gosh, sure. Thank you.
Let's go to David in Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program. You're on with Ian Punnett.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Everything's great. Go ahead, David.
I'm surprised I got through. You know, Mr. Punnett, my hat's off to you. And you guys, I was listening to you talking earlier about Art Bell, man. I always pictured him as sitting in an Airstream trailer and pumping the bat out, you know, with an antenna hanging off, transmitting.
It was much nicer than that. It was a mobile home, but it was much nicer than that. And he was an interesting character. I've always felt very blessed you've gotten to know him.
Where were you the night that he had passed away, Ian?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I was already here. Yeah, and I had just gotten to Kansas State. I wasn't teaching yet, and I remember sending out that I think, or maybe I was still in Tempe when I was finishing up. What year was it? Now I can't.
2018, April 13th,
yeah.
2018.
Okay. So that I was just leaving, and I hadn't yet gotten here yet. So
we didn't believe the story when we first started hearing it.
And I remember, and I tweeted it out very tentatively and very conditionally. But I mean, it was coming from a higher source, and then I started calling, like, you know, you're an old newsman, you know how to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You want to double check your sources and then triple check it when it was something like that. But
I kept telling Tom, I said, Tom, I am not going to be the one to report Art Bell's death and be wrong. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And so we got a hold of George Knapp, who's going to be on tonight with us. And I said, George, you got to check this thing out for us. And he checked with the sheriff's department down there in Pahrump, and he said, it's true. He's gone. Then we went with it.
He was the verification I was looking for, too, and that's what you've got to love about your team that's behind you here on this bench. You've got a lot of people to put in when you need to, and George Knapp is obviously one of the best and also one of the longest serving.
Oh, he's the best.
And I love getting to know the new guys, so I'll be listening for a little while. I'm teaching a Zoom class tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, but other than that, I'll be listening for a little while, and I love to hear the other people and get to know them through you.
Carl is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Carl, welcome to the program. You're on with Mr. Ian Punnett.
George, how have you been?
Good. Everybody's great.
Okay. You remember me. I met you in Nashville a couple years ago.
Absolutely. Good man.
Love you, man. How you been? You're doing all right?
Yeah,
we're
weathering.
I love Ian Punnett, too. I love him.
There you go.
Mr. Punnett, I love you.
Thank you very much. I wish I'd been there in Nashville. That sounded like a great show, but it's a wonderful town.
You have a great – I'm a longtime Coast listener. Of course, back to Mr. Bell. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
You are a good, great host, and I listen to you all the time. Now, two quick questions for you because I'll ramble on. You know, I'm like Barry. I'm 20 miles from Barry in Rock Hill. and the night that Mr. Bell passed away, I was on my way to see a friend in Rock Hill, unfortunately, and I was on hold, and then I couldn't get on because the last half hour they played some pre-recorded tape. Plus, I'm jealous of you guys because I always wanted to be in radio my whole life. I'm a radio junkie and a radio geek, and I wish I would have been on the radio. People tell me I have a good voice.
You do?
And I'm also a musician. I don't play right now, but Mr. Norrie, and I went to Asheville 2 years ago and met everybody, Tommy, the whole crew, the producer, and I just love you guys.
Well, it's not too late to start.
Very nice singing voice. Mr. Norrie has a great voice.
I bet he does.
I'm a musician, so I know good voices.
It's not too late to start a podcast. And
I hear you, or becoming radio. I'm only 60, but
yeah,
let me tell you real
young.
Quick.
That's the new 40.
I'm jealous of you, too. Peter Noon, love the Herman Kermit.
It's going to be
fun. I love 60 stuff. So two quick questions for you.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been in Kansas, and have you ever met the guys from the Kansas rock band? And number two, Dave Schrader.
Yeah.
He was a sometimes guest host.
Yep.
But not very often. He's not on anymore, George.
No, Dave did his own program. And then, Ian, he's a good friend of yours. Though.
Yeah, I keep in touch with Dave, and his TV show is going well. Of course, it got truncated a little bit because of the
virus.
And so they're not shooting a second season yet, but they have permission to, so that's going well.
The only reason I ask is because he did one of my favorite interviews. I walked out of work one night on my birthday 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And guess who was on? Mr. Michael Nesmith of the Monkees.
I remember that.
I talked to him, and I have a copy of that call. But I can tell you have a degree. I was not surprised to hear you have a degree in theology. I can tell you're spiritual over the radio.
Well, that's nice of you to say that.
Thanks for taking my calls. Have you ever met Kansas or any members?
I loved Carrie Livgren. I thought Steve Walsh was terrific. They don't live around this area, but I have always wanted to. I did interview one of them on the phone back when I was a music jock, but never met him in person. And so I would love to. They still tour. They pop up at a casino not too far from here. One of these days, though, maybe we'll get them on the air on Coast on a Friday night when we do our off-speed pitch night and have fun, right?
Thanks, Carl. We appreciate you being on the show. Go ahead, Ian.
And I am doing I'm teaching a podcasting class. It starts Monday. It's all online, and I'm doing it through Kansas State University. So if anybody wants to sign up for it, it's a 4-credit class. So if anybody knows anybody's got a kid who's in communications or somebody else and they want to learn how to do podcasting, it's called Perfect Podcasting. And it's the first time where we've offered it. And I'm looking forward to teaching it. So you don't have to. Anybody in the country can take it, and they just sign up if they go to the K-State website and look for podcasting from there, and they'll sign up.
You're in Kansas. Have you met Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz yet?
You know, so I don't know if you know this, but there's like no town, no specific town mentioned in the Wizard of Oz, right?
No, there isn't.
But the town over, like the next little town over, is called Wamego, and it's not too far from Manhattan, and they just one day claimed it. The one day they just said, she's from here. And so they have the Oz Museum. They have Wizard of Oz Winery. Everything is Wizard of Oz. And of course, you know, we just all, that's where now they've said it so often that people believe it's in the book and in the movie, but it's not. They just decided they needed something to help revitalize downtown. So they became the center of the Wizard of Oz.
We were talking a couple weeks ago about the Wizard of Oz, and apparently it wasn't the kid flick we all thought it was. Apparently it had to do with the Federal Reserve and what's behind the curtain and all this Illuminati stuff. It was bizarre. But
that's really, Frank L. Baum was a very intriguing figure, so that doesn't surprise me at all. I wish I'd heard that show.
That's super. Ian, you take care of yourself. If there's anything
George.
We can do for you, all you got to do is ask.
All you have to do is call, and on any night, you know, I'll step in. Or it's nice to know you've got a group of about 10 people that are all waiting to help you. And so make sure you don't overwork yourself, because you've got this great bench here for you at all times, and it's nice of you to shine the light on them tonight.
You got it. Ian Punnett, very special guest, and I filled in for him April of 2001, a long, long time ago. And he is now still part of Coast to Coast. He's one of the originals, and it's great to have that. Ian Punnett. Up next, more surprises on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We've got a huge audience in this world and a huge audience in Canada. We're on many radio stations there. And one of our special hosts is from Toronto, Richard Serrett. He's been producing fresh, compelling, and provocative talk radio in Toronto, North America's fourth largest market, for more than 20 years. Now, some of his shows have drawn a larger audience than the station's hockey broadcasts and the city's beloved Maple Leafs out there. And these days, Richard hosts all kinds of programs, including The Conspiracy Show, where he continues to discuss all kinds of unexplained mysteries, paranormal phenomena before a worldwide audience. And, of course, he is one of our regular hosts on Coast to Coast. Richard, welcome, my friend.
Hey, Hey, George, what a thrill. I've been looking for, forward to this for weeks now since I heard about this wonderful idea. Thank you so much for thinking of me and having me on.
I got to tell you, I got a kick. When I did my live stage show several years ago in Toronto at the Queen Elizabeth Theater, and you were in the audience, that meant so much to me. And we, you know, you stood up and recognized the crowd as they recognized you. But that was a thrill for me. It was great. How have you been?
Oh, I've been terrific. Well, thank you. I remember that day well. And that was so kind of you to acknowledge me. I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Richard, how are things in Canada with the coronavirus?
They're talking about opening things up a little bit, and they're doing it in stages here in Ontario, where I'm sitting. Phase one is just sort of is being unveiled now. So they're gradually opening up things like golf courses and marinas and tennis courts. And I'm not sure exactly the timing of phase two and what that will entail, but it's kind of moving at a snail's pace. I wish things would move along much quicker, but
yeah.
It is what it is, unfortunately.
People are ready to get out of the house, aren't they?
Oh, I think people have had it up to here, and I'm pointing to my forehead.
How did you get involved in broadcasting? How did that start for you?
I took a radio and television and film course in college in the 1980s, and I was actually thinking about television documentary. I got a call from a fellow graduate at a heritage station, CFRB, which had been on the air since 1927, had a morning man, Wally Crowder, who was in the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest-serving morning man in radio history. So she told me that they were looking for a call screener. So I went over there fresh out of school, and I never really looked back. From there, I went into off-air producing, a story producer, booking guests. It was kind of public affairs, current affairs-type talk radio. And they did a great job of promoting their own people from within. And so one day, the program director in the late 90s said, "I've got 2 hours on a Sunday to fill. How would you like to host your own show?" And that was the beginning of an ongoing 20-year romance, and I've never looked back, and so thankful for that opportunity.
I had heard about you from some of our listeners, and we started monitoring you, and I said, you know, to Lisa and Tom, I said, you know, this guy would be a great fill-in host here, and we got you.
That was you monitoring me. Okay.
My people.
Well, better you than Homeland Security.
Exactly. Did you always have an interest in the unusual and the paranormal?
I did. Going back to, like a lot of people of my generation, I loved In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. That
uh-huh.
was a staple at our house. And then, of course, you know, I listened to Art Bell in the 80s as well as so many others. He was the kind of guy, I could listen to him read the phone book. He just had that.
He could sell ice to the Eskimos. You know?
That's it. So, yeah, and then when I had my own show, I had to figure out, well, I don't want to talk about what everyone else talks about. Number one, they do a better job, you know, garbage strikes and provincial budgets. So I wanted to talk about those big questions that have always amazed and confounded me and billions of other people. You know, why are we here? What happens after we die? And who's really running the show?
Absolutely. Your views are very similar to a lot of ours. We're going to take some calls here in the moment. We've got you here, Richard, as well. How does the future look for all of us in the world? What's your gut tell you?
I think we're going to have our mettle tested. And every few generations this happens. You know, my father survived the Depression and served in the Second World War. And then I think, you know, for the last 50 years, we've had it pretty easy. So I think we have some heavy sledding ahead of us, unfortunately. I think my gut feeling is that this is going to go on and on and on. It's going to come in waves. And then, you know, maybe in a few years, there'll be a variant of this. It'll come back. There'll be something else. I don't think anything will ever be the same. And that comes with some upside and obviously a lot of downside.
You know, Richard, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Our neighbors to the north, you Canadians, are the best neighbors we could ever have asked for. I mean, you were with us during World War II. You've been with us for all kinds of things, and it's just been a relationship that has just been phenomenal. I wish our countries would expand that, because it's so close.
I agree. I mean, I look at our American neighbors as cousins. And my ancestors came up from New Jersey up to Canada in the 1840s. And I've always had an incredible fascination and interest and passion for all things American. I love baseball. I love your political system. I follow politics in the U.S. I have a real emotional investment in the United States. So I do. I feel that kindred spirit.
Let's take a few calls with you, too, Rich. Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Welcome to the program, Franco.
Glad to be with you, George. This idea, I can't give you a whole lot of credit. You should have thought of this 5-6 years ago.
Well, maybe I did, but I was pacing myself.
We can get all of them together on the same night, probably. Richard, I wanted to know, were you hosting on a Saturday night when you had a guest? He wrote a book about the Civil War, and I have trouble with names. I'm getting older. And it was terrible. This guy had the South getting a bad a shake on the Civil War, that they did everything right, the North was wrong, and I had to call in, and I didn't argue with him, but that show, Coast to Coast, November of, it will have been 15 years, and I've learned so much from listening to this program. I learned so much that I wouldn't have learned anyplace else. The guests, the thousands of guests that's been on this show, but that interview has just made me hot under the collar. Me being African American, and he acted like the slaves were happy to be working on the plantation. It was terrible. It was terrible. And then learning about World War II and the Operation Paperclip, that you both brought that ideas across, but I never could understand why the United States didn't chase the Nazis into South America, and why didn't they threaten the countries that was harboring Nazis? Because we hid some of them too, and it's all complicated. But how come they didn't put any pressure on the South American countries that were harboring the Nazis? I never could get that information.
Well, and as you know, Frank, a lot of our reports said that Hitler may have gone to South America as well. But in terms of the Civil War person, I don't know. It wasn't Richard's fault. He gets these guests assigned and brings in some of his own. But that was the guests' views. And one of the luxuries, Richard, of Coast to Coast is we have these very various views of things, whether you like them or not.
Exactly. And for the caller, you know, if you were offended by whatever you may have heard or thought you heard, then, you know, that's unfortunate. But the idea
And if I were African American, I probably would have been offended too by what the guest might have said.
In fact, you know, what happened, but being hot under the collar is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's better to have strong feelings about something than to have no feelings at all. So, you know, a good visceral reaction, I think that's what radio is all about. Good radio.
It sure is. It sure is. And, gosh, how long you been with us now?
The first show I did was in April of 2009, and then I got...
11 years already.
January of 2014, and it's been regular since January of 2014.
And you having fun?
Oh, my gosh. The first time, you know, I talked about this when I went on the air in 2009, you interviewed me, and I said this was like getting a call-up from the Yankees.
Do you hit the big leagues?
Indeed, indeed.
And by the way, with your conspiracy show, how can people hear that?
That's on Sunday nights. It's live out of Toronto on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And then I have about 38 affiliates across North America. They play it in delay, but if they go to strangeplanet.ca, that's my website.
Super.
And there's a list of affiliates there, and they can find one close by, hopefully.
Let's go west of the Rockies in Watsonville, California. Richard's with us. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, George and Richard. I've talked to Richard several times about a guest that he has had on named Lee Wanta.
And yes.
Pardon me?
It's a great story.
Oh, you know about this guy.
Oh, yeah, and all the money.
Well, here's the question that what is it going to take for you to hook up with Richard and maybe get this money repatriated back to the United States, because it's to pay off the American debt, and the rest of the money, I believe, goes to the VA, and I believe there's one other place it goes to for a movie or something, Richard?
I think the idea was that the money left over was to, you're right, it was to pay off the debt.
This was during the Reagan administration, wasn't it, Richard?
During the Reagan administration, that's right. Yeah. He was a special agent, and he claims that he brought down the Soviet Union by a series of currency swaps, etc., that crashed the ruble, and the money he made on that, now in the trillions, was to be repatriated to the U.S. Treasury, and I believe there was going to be a huge infrastructure project. The problem is certain nefarious characters have prevented him from repatriating that money.
Where is the money now?
In hundreds of numbered accounts, apparently, all over the world.
Somebody's got it, to be sure. John in Las Vegas, welcome to the show. When's Vegas going to start popping again, John?
Well, that's a good question.
Sure is. But anyways, you're on with Richard. Go ahead.
Okay, Richard, I had one question for both of you, and that is separation. And when is this separation going to quit? But for you, John, is this, did you hear about the pyramids in Bosnia?
Yes. We've had some reports on that. That's a great story in terms of Bosnian pyramids. But they're all over the planet. Richard, these pyramids are similar. I think a long time ago, some ETs came down and made them everywhere.
Well, yes, they're in Mexico. I have heard about the one in Bosnia. I believe there's one even in Costa Rica.
They're in China. They're everywhere.
Exactly, yeah. Do you remember Pyramid Power?
Yes.
That was big up here in the early 70s. I remember with the Toronto Maple Leafs, their coach, Red Kelly, believed in Pyramid Power. It didn't help the Leafs that year, though.
We had a kid in school who used to wear a pyramid hat. And I got to tell you, he aced all his classes. I don't know what he was doing.
Well, he knew something we don't.
Yeah, but in terms of this distancing, which I assume he's talking about COVID-19, it's going to be around for a few more months, I think.
At least, yeah. And again, my fear is it's going to come in waves. So, you know, we'll come out for a while, and just like groundhogs, on Groundhog Day, we'll be ordered back into our little hovels again.
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure this world or economy can take it. Have businesses closed in Canada like they have in the U.S.?
Oh, yes, yes. We're looking at a global depression, I fear. And unfortunately, I think now at this point the cure may be worse than the disease. That's my greatest fear.
Absolutely. And Canada, of course, still sovereign with the Queen?
We are. Yes, we love our Queen.
I love your theme, by the way, Oh Canada. It's one of the greatest hockey themes I hear at the hockey games when they have that. I'm Detroit Red Wing fan, so every time we play Toronto, and I always watched it on television, Saturday Night Hockey.
That's it. It was a wonderful rivalry.
Let's see, who was the announcer? Foster something.
Foster Hewitt.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Didn't he have one arm?
Not that I'm aware of. I think he had two. I could be wrong. I think he had two.
One of those announcers had one arm, because we remember it as a kid.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
And that was a possibility, to be sure. Richard, we're almost done with time here. When are you on scheduled again? Do you know?
I'm on Sunday, May 31st.
Excellent. Well, you take care and love your work, and thank you for doing what you do for us.
George, thank you for the opportunity.
It's Richard Serrett. He's one heck of a guy and one of our hosts at Coast to Coast AM. Up next, we've got four more of our special hosts coming up. This is fun. I'm having a great time. I hope you are, too. And it's different. We'll be back with more.